From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the third day of May 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Mike Tenura will be here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. He has a look not at what's happening in the United States, but rather we're going to go back to South America because the safrinha, or second crop corn, is in real trouble in Brazil. Mike has all the details. He'll tell us a bit about the weather forecast here for the Midwest, too. And we'll also check in on the cash grain market and what's been happening down on the farm with Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. And we'll do all of that right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Look us up, listen to us on demand wherever you find your podcast, or willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker is with us from Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. This is the kind of day I like to have you on, Dan. It rained in the Midwest, and futures are higher. And I think a lot of the crop actually got planted in the last several days, though we're still running behind according to USDA's numbers.
Yeah, and I think that tells you that the bearishness, whatever bearishness there is in this marketplace, has been priced into the market for a long time. I mean, you can kind of look at, wheat. Let's start with wheat. New season highs in May for wheat. Now, how many years do you have the wheat market making new yearly highs during the month of May?
I have no idea.
Very few. You usually have a February break and then you wallow around during March. Maybe you have a little April rally, but then you begin to decline as you go on into harvest. So wheat is clearly counter-seasonal. So wheat is swimming upstream, and it's got a lot of strength to do it. And anytime a market can swim upstream and make headway, you've got a good move underway, or you got a very strong market. You take a look at corn. Corn, again, new season highs in corn. I just look at that monthly corn chart, and if you look at a long-term monthly corn chart, I don't know why anybody would want to sell corn down here in this $3.60 to $4 level, because you're at the bottom end of a 20-year range, price range, or 10-year range. So, I mean, the corn market is finally coming to life. I think it's just a matter of time that we go significantly higher and offer farmers some pretty good prices on corn. Soybeans, they just can't kill soybeans. The last few days we've had a reversal up, and then we'd have a reversal down, and then today now we got another reversal to the upside. And you can just see that soybeans do not want to fall much below this 1050 area on the November. And with today's close, we're basically posting one of the top three closes of the season right here. The soybean market has basically gained back everything it lost earlier in the week, so it's unchanged to higher for the week. Obviously, corn and soybeans are higher by making new season highs. So you hear a lot of talk about soybeans. I think one of the reasons why soybeans have been struggling to go down is because during the last month or so, with talk about planting delays in the spring wheat areas of the northern corn belt areas and blah, 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 that we were going to probably increase our soybean acres dramatically because we weren't going to get all the corn planted. We're not going to get all the spring wheat planted. And I think the weather pattern over the past week or 10 days has pretty well blew that one out the door. It, at least at the moment, at least here on May 3rd, it looks like we could very easily have a fairly timely planning. Now, it's not going to be above average time-wise, but at least at the moment, it looks like a lot of grain went into the into the ground. These farmers, and I know that you're watching it all the time, you're getting more and more involved in agriculture. I mean, with these GPS systems, they can go 24/7. I mean, they can put a lot of corn in the ground. Everybody's kind of converted over to electric planter, so they can really move fast. So it doesn't take long to put a crop in the ground if you get a window. So I think anybody that was really worrying about planting delays maybe jumped the gun a little bit. We still have a long ways to go. There's no doubt about it. But historically, about May 15th, May 20th, that's when the trade really decides whether or not it was a poor planting, the crops are off to a poor start, the crops are here or there, and then it decides whether or not it wants to go higher into June or if it wants to kind of fall back and slide into a June low, and then we twiddle our thumbs and we wait around for July and August weather to kind of determine what size of crop we're going to have.
You know what, I think about the number of days actually that are suitable for field days, and I think the work, well, I know, in fact, the work that Scott Irwin and Todd Hubbs did in the last couple of weeks suggests that it takes about 14 actual days, suitable field days, to get into the, get the whole of the corn crop in the United States. It hasn't actually gone in any faster. However, when you think about it, if you say that we started on April 22nd or 3rd or thereabouts, planting, this is week two. We had five suitable days last week as of Sunday, and then, of course, we've had several days since then. And my view has always been it takes about 3.5 weeks to get the crop in. But if you say we started the 22nd, that's what, 1, 2, 3. Yep, we get finished by the 17th or 18th or thereabouts, really close anyway.
Yeah, we still got a couple weeks of weather to bite fingernails, but I do know the farmers are farming more ground these days. But I tell you what, you know, these electric planters and the GPS systems and being able to go 24 hours. I mean, if farmers need to put the crop in, it can go in awfully fast. And
it's the 24 hour that makes the difference.
Yes, the 24 hour makes a big difference in a 10 hour day or a 12 hour day, depending on how much daylight you have this time of year. But, the farmers don't necessarily do a 24 hour day unless they're really under pressure. And of course, this year was one of those years where it kind of put them under pressure a little bit. So they were able to go 24 hours. And I really do think probably we've got more crop planted than maybe what USDA's numbers implied, but it doesn't really make any difference as long as the market knows the crop is going in the ground, it's going in the ground. Now we're gonna argue between now and June 30th report, you know, what the acreage mix is. Did we plant USDA's numbers? Did we overplant them or did we underplant them? And where did that and this and that? That's what the trade is going to argue about between now and the final acreage report. So we do have 6 weeks of arguing about what the final acreage number is going to be. But I mean, that's what the trade does. I mean, that's what it does in the June 30th. The number comes out and we live with it. You know? Yeah. And then we'll argue about the yield for the next 2 months.
Hey, you know what? I know you're just getting wound up, but save it for Commodity Week. We'll record about 40 minutes from now, and folks can listen to it on the air tomorrow or on the web tonight around 5 o'clock.
That sounds good.
We'll get all your tech stuff then, too. Hey, thanks so much.
Okay, giddy up.
Yeah. We'll find out how much when we talk to him during Commodity Week. You can always hear that online. Check out the Bluetooth if you're in, and you're probably not this afternoon, but maybe if you only had half an inch, you might be running again. Use the Bluetooth this afternoon and put that up around 5, 6 o'clock tonight and listen to Commodity Week off willag.org. In today's agricultural news, President Trump's trade team is in Beijing this week to defuse trade tensions with China that have already taken a dollar toll on U.S. agriculture and threaten it further. The two sides have already imposed new tariffs and counter-tariffs, with threats of more in a fight over cheap Chinese metal exports and China's piracy of U.S. trade secrets, says U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue.
Ever since China entered the WTO back in the early 2000s, they've not played by the rules. And this particular issue right here now is they have had forced technology transfer as well as literal theft of our intellectual property through many companies, through cyber theft or direct forced transfer. And that's not right. That's not what nations do in a free trade world.
Perdue, meanwhile, is encouraging the president to get to the table with China and preparing emergency aid for producers if talks fail. But China's foreign ministry cautions against early high expectations due to the size and scope of the bilateral trade. Former U.S. Senate Finance Chair and panel senior member Chuck Grassley is also cautious.
I don't think they're going to get it settled with one meeting, but I think that they might be able to limit and maybe put off the impositions of the tariffs while talks are going on. But dealing with China is a slow process, and they have to save face, and saving face is pretty important, and so they're going to move very slowly. So I don't know when we're going to have a solution to it.
Grassley says the Beijing meetings are important, especially since China's President Xi Jinping is attending. Xi vowed earlier to allow more U.S. investment in China and to take steps to reduce a $375 billion U.S. trade deficit with his nation. Experts say specifics are lacking. Trump says China's pledges are not enough. We'll stay with trade for one other story, this one on the North American Free Trade Deal, or NAFTA. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer this week said a NAFTA deal must be reached within a week or two of the next meeting of trade negotiations. Officials from the U.S., Canada, and Mexico are scheduled to meet next week again to hammer out remaining details in the renegotiation effort. And that's a quick look at today's agricultural news. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. We're joined by Mike Tenuram. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, at this time of year, you'd think we'd want to focus on the United States. We'll get to it, but Brazil, South America, is the place the action really is happening at this time. What's going on with that second crop corn?
Well, essentially, it stopped raining on the second crop corn in Brazil about 30 to 40 days ago. And because of that, we're starting to see some dryness issues develop. On top of that, it's been much warmer than normal, especially in the southern growing areas where about half of the crop is produced. So we would more than likely classify this as a flash drought if there were a true definition of that term. But essentially, starting around April 2nd, the rain stopped, it turned dry, it turned hot. And going forward, there's nothing on the horizon here for a while. This is a significant problem potentially for the southern third of corn production, with the main reason being that they started pollinating in the beginning of April, and they didn't see much rain throughout the entire month. It's staying dry now, and we only have some chances for rain starting up in about 10 to 14 days. Normally, the southern third of the crop would receive around 4.5 to 5 inches of rain in the month of May, and even a little bit more than that in the month of April. And at this point, we could go through this entire period of April 1st through about the middle of May with very little to no rain in a lot of these areas. So that's a problem. As we head to the north, that northern two-thirds of corn production, well, they were pretty wet from February into March and even into the beginning of April. But the dry season is establishing weeks ahead of normal. This started about 2 to 3 weeks ago, and we don't think there'll be much rain for the rest of the growing season for the northern two-thirds of that crop. So it's going to take a little bit here to figure this one out. But historically, when May is unusually dry, you have below-trend corn yields. We've seen that several times going back to about 2003, and yields ended up anywhere from about 6% below trend to about 23% below trend, and the USDA, or at least WASDE, was using a near exact trend yield to come up with their 92 million metric tons corn for Brazil. So this is what we need to figure out. Is this happening again? Is history repeating right now? Keep in mind, Todd, we haven't seen this for a while. Only two of the last seven Aprils in the second crop corn belt of Brazil were drier than normal. So we've been accustomed here to some wet growing seasons for that crop, and this is not going to be one of them.
If you go further to the south there, Argentina suffered through a serious drought. The growing season has ended, although it appears that they're going to get some rainfall this week.
They're going to see a lot of rainfall. We've been seeing rainfall numbers keep on piling up and piling up over the last couple of weeks. Nothing highly unusual to this point, but the potential issue is what happens here over the next week. We have a very large system that's going to move through the region, starting up Saturday and Sunday, and then lingering through the first half of next week. A lot of the rainfall numbers we're seeing out of Argentina are looking very impressive, somewhere on the order of 2 to 4 inches, with isolated amounts of 6 to 8 inches. The entire month of May in Argentina only receives about 1 to 2 inches. So this is highly anomalous. They have a more distinct rainy season and dry season than what we would see here in the U.S. So May is not the time of the year that you normally get rain. They're harvesting now, and this is poorly timed.
And finally, come here to the United States. We've had some rainfall. What do you see looking into next week?
Well, next week is going to be a little bit cooler than what we saw this week, but still pretty close to normal. So this cold pattern we've been in is pretty much a thing of the past now. We are going to see some rain here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, and maybe a little bit more right after that as a notably warmer period reassembles here in about 10 days. Coverage and amounts don't look too impressive today, but we're going to have to keep an eye on that because Iowa saw a lot of rain over the last couple of days. So did parts of Illinois. There's still some rain taking place as of Thursday afternoon. So we'll just need to be keeping an eye on that to see if that starts to impact planting a little bit going forward.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate you taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, that sounds great, Todd. See you then.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, now joins us. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us. First, I take it you have finished up planting for the most part this year.
Yeah, actually, we finished corn, last week. Well, early in the week, I guess. And then we just switched over to beans and basically planted with both rigs. And so we've been done with corn for quite a while. And then on soybeans, we finished with everything other than river bottoms.
We got about half an inch of rain here. What'd you get where you are there in Windsor?
We had an inch, and then a couple places we had more than that where we farmed. So we're hoping that it came right. At my house, I don't know that I ever heard it really rain too hard. But to be honest with you, I think I slept through that part because I haven't got much sleep for the last week, 10 days. So
I bet that was the case. Earlier in the week, and even today still, really good prices for corn. Producers and soybeans, not so bad too. Producers need to take advantage of this at all?
You know, I've been saying for a long time I'm friendly to corn to an extent, but that doesn't mean that we're not making some sales. You know, last year we didn't have a chance to sell basis to decent these prices. You know, we topped out around 417. A couple of years ago, though, we topped out around 449. Are we going to see those types of levels this year? We're a lot closer than what anybody would have ever guessed. So even if you're still friendly, I think it's a wise move to make an incremental sale at a level above anything that you could have gotten last year.
Of course, you know that Dan is a little on the giddy up, Sideswicker, that is. We'll let you and he talk that out during Commodity Week when we record in about 30 minutes. Talk to you then.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. As we wrap up our time together, let's turn our attention to what's been happening in Washington, D.C. with former Indiana Senator and Republican Richard Richard Luger. This audio provided by Eric Piper. He's over at the Hoosier Ag Today Network out of Lafayette, Indiana. Thanks to them, the former Indiana senator and chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, Republican Richard Luger, toured the Purdue University Forestry and Natural Resources Farm that bears his name earlier this week. Luger is the president of the Luger Center. The Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit has many objectives, but one is to encourage bipartisan governance. Luger shared his thoughts on the partisan 2018 House Farm Bill.
I think they're trying to do the best they can, but our bipartisan index indicates how partisan Congress still is. We're rating members on the basis of whether they offer legislation that has co-sponsors or reach across the aisle to help. That's just essential. Something like the Farm Bill could go on forever without there being that cooperation. So we're trying to stimulate cooperation.
Luger is also the co-creator of the organization Farmers for Free Trade. There are multiple reports that say an announcement regarding a renegotiated NAFTA could come yet this month. Luger was asked if, after all of the negotiation, NAFTA remained exactly as it was for agriculture, would it still be a good deal for farmers?
Yes, it would be. I would think the status quo would be great in comparison to the changes that are being suggested.
And on trade with China, Luger said he's hopeful.
I don't know how the president and China are going to come out. I'm very hopeful, however, that they will come out with a compromise that does not affect agriculture.
Luger's day on Purdue's campus included a roundtable discussion on global food security. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Check all of our programming out online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post most of it, if not all of it, in its entirety on our website. Again, the address, willag.org. You can also find us as a podcast any place you listen to podcasts. I personally like to use the NPR One app, but Stitcher works, iTunes work. You can look us up in the Google Play Store and any other way that you can listen to a podcast. If you're in your tractor cab, don't forget to go ahead and use that Bluetooth. If you can't tune us in on one of our radio stations, you can use, in fact, the TuneIn app. That's TuneIn app and listen to us live, listen to us after the fact, but use the Bluetooth capabilities to listen to that podcast. Hey, thanks for being with us again today. We'll talk with you again tomorrow. Don't forget that our Commodity Week program will be recorded at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Matt Bennett and Dan Zwicker will be there, along with Bill Mayer. Should be a good show. We'll put it up on the website by about 5 o'clock tonight. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.